A baby abandoned on orphanage steps. A sea captain trading waves for wheat fields. A German immigrant pushed from his livelihood. What connects these disparate souls? The answer lies in a 2,170-mile ribbon of dust, hope, and reinvention stretching from Missouri to Oregon. In 1859, these lives converged on the most famous pathway in American history, not because they were running from something, but because the West promised a radical idea that your past doesn't dictate your future. Picture 41 wagons creaking westward, each carrying not just possessions, but the weight of second chances. Inside these canvas-covered vessels traveled orphans who'd become guides, widows seeking purpose, and families gambling everything on fertile soil they'd never seen. The Oregon Trail wasn't merely a route, it was a crucible where strangers became communities, and survival demanded both fierce independence and profound interdependence. Matt Logan never knew his birth date. The nuns who found him on Sacred Heart Orphanage steps in 1836 simply chose one, as if a life could begin with such arbitrary precision. 8 years later, another boy arrived, Daniel Dugan, freshly orphaned and frightened. Mother Superior made a request that would define both their lives. Consider Danny your brother. What followed wasn't obligation, but genuine devotion. When bullies targeted the younger boy, Matt's fists spoke the language of protection without hesitation. By 1852, the orphanage walls had transformed from shelter to cage. On Matt's 16th birthday, that invented date marking an invented beginning, he shared his escape plan with Danny. They would head west, where the horizon stretched beyond institutional rules and predetermined futures. Imagine the audacity required, two teenagers with nothing but each other, choosing uncertainty over the known confines of charity. Their bond reveals something profound about family. It's less about blood than about who stands beside you when the world feels hostile.
Captain Cody McNair had mastered the sea, navigating 137 days aboard the Sea Sprite with practiced confidence. His friendship with Alonzo Baker, a formerly enslaved man now free and skilled, spoke to Cody's character in an era when such partnerships crossed rigid social boundaries. Yet by 1851, the ocean's call had quieted. When offered command of a new vessel, Cody declined, choosing family over advancement. The sea captain became a farmer in St. Louis County, Missouri. His children, Jared and Ellen, worked the tobacco fields until hornworms devastated their crop. Then came 1858, and the loss that changes everything. Lucinda, Cody's wife, passed away. By 1859, the bank threatened foreclosure. Phil Grant, a riverboat entrepreneur, offered $2,000 for the farm, enough for a fresh start. During a St. Louis meeting, Phil showed Cody a newspaper article about wagon trains heading to Oregon. Perhaps the frontier offered what the sea once had, a place where a man could chart his own course. By 1859, those abandoned orphans had become purposeful men. Matt Logan worked as a trail guide in Independence, Missouri, while Danny Dugan led a wagon train through Ash Hollow Creek. Working separately to maximize opportunities, they stayed connected through messages left at forts and trading posts. Meanwhile, Cody's farm crisis coincided with Phil Grant showing him that Oregon article. The timing felt providential. In St. Louis, German immigrant Harm Schultz contemplated the same journey after being pushed from brewing. His wife, Gretchen, worried, but Harm insisted, "We came to this country to find a better life, and now we must go where that better life awaits us." Near Chimney Rock, the Pollard train moved westward with families like the Clintons. Ian Clinton, a cobbler with no farming experience, was drawn by cheap land. His daughter Darcy dreamed of teaching school, a radical ambition for 1859. Cody invited Alonzo Baker along, recognizing Lon's blacksmithing skills would prove invaluable. Despite concerns about acceptance as a black man, Lon trusted Cody's integrity and the promise of establishing his own business, where skill might matter more than skin color. These converging paths represented the diverse motivations populating westward expansion, each person carrying their own version of what Oregon might mean. On April 20, 1859, 41 wagons gathered at Laclede's Landing in St. Louis. Peter Laycock immediately opposed the Baker's presence, his prejudice threatening unity before departure. Cody McNair's unanimous election as captain affirmed his leadership and perhaps rejected Laycock's bigotry. Children transcended adult divisions. Emma Joyce and Precious Baker became inseparable friends. As families bid tearful farewells, the diverse group evolved into a mobile village. Disease struck first in Mel Pollard's train. When young Sean Clinton died suddenly, cholera fears prompted Pollard to isolate the family. Left behind, the Clintons continued alone until Indians attacked while Ian and Connor hunted. Most family members were slaughtered. Only Darcy survived, taken captive to a village where Spirit Woman showed unexpected kindness. In Cody's train, a festive gathering turned to terror when Precious Baker was abducted during hide-and-seek. Even celebration carried danger on the trail. The Hood Raiders, led by dismissed wagon train leader Dudley Dace, launched a terror campaign against emigrants. At Haystack Butte, his hooded gang decimated Pollard's train, leaving young Jimmy Morgan to guide traumatized survivors to safety. These attacks prompted Matt to formalize law within his train, commissioning Jared McNair as sheriff with deputies to establish civil authority. At Cottonwood Station, this system faced its first test when Jared resolved a violent saloon dispute through makeshift trial and execution, grim reminders of frontier justice's harsh realities. Meanwhile, Darcy Clinton's captivity among the Shoshone stretched into weeks. Spirit Woman became her lifeline, teaching survival and offering maternal comfort. When Precious Baker was captured, the tribesmen regarded her as good medicine due to her unique appearance. Darcy comforted the frightened child, an unexpected bond forming across their differences. Matt Logan and his group tracked the captors to their village, executing a brief but fierce rescue that liberated both captives. Personal connections deepened amid hardships. Ellen and Matt's relationship blossomed by the Platte River as Matt shared his journey from Chicago orphanage to trail guide. Tennyson once wrote that 'tis better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all, Matt reflected. I never understood that until I found myself missing people I'd never even met, my parents, Ellen responded. Perhaps love isn't just what we feel for those present in our lives, but also the space we hold for those absent. Cody and Nani Hughes grew closer, while Darcy Clinton and Jared McNair formed another pair, though Darcy struggled between marriage and her teaching aspirations. Physical landmarks marked psychological milestones. At Independence Rock, travelers carved their names alongside thousands before them. South Pass brought them across the Continental Divide. Water now flowed toward the Pacific, symbolizing their separation from the past. Three Island Crossing demanded careful coordination fording the Snake River. At Farewell Bend, relentless dust plagued them until Cody instituted wagon rotation. The Blue Mountains tested everyone with rugged terrain, yet wildflowers bloomed alongside the trail, nature's reminder that beauty persists even in harsh environments. At the Dalles, travelers face their final choice: Sam Barlow's expensive toll road over the Cascades, or settling here. Joe Atwood chose to stay, seeing prime cattle country. The parting brought both sadness and celebration as lifelong friendships reached their destination. Those continuing reached Oregon City, the first incorporated city west of the Rockies, a thriving community starkly different from months of wilderness. Cody led discussions about settling temporarily as the rainy season approached, with purchasing lots becoming strategic for surviving winter. Amid practical decisions, romantic futures unfolded. Matt proposed to Ellen. Cody quietly proposed to Nani. These commitments represented not just personal happiness, but the establishment of families that would build Oregon society. For former orphans Matt Logan and Danny Duggan, the journey's end held particular meaning. Having started life without roots, they'd found purpose, guiding others to new beginnings. Cody McNair, who'd faced financial ruin, found not just economic opportunity, but a second chance at love. For the Bakers, Oregon represented racial equality that had eluded them in Missouri. Darcy Clinton, having survived family loss and captivity, faced her future with newfound strength. these travelers arrived as different people than those who departed St. Louis months earlier. The trail had tested them, broken some, strengthened others, and ultimately delivered them to a place where they could build something new. Not just homes and businesses, but communities founded on bonds forged through shared hardship. When we face journeys that demand everything we have, we can remember these 41 wagons creaking westward. They teach us that transformation requires motion, that community emerges from shared struggle, and that meaningful destinations are reached not despite our hardships, but because of what those hardships reveal about our capacity for endurance, adaptation, and hope.